Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Welcome to Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. And today's passage is Luke 18, verses 15 to 17, where Jesus calls the little children to himself for blessing. And so we're going to look at a very controversial passage of Scripture in some ways. It speaks a lot to modern life. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because we want you ready to receive the Word of God. And before we go into today's passage, let's pray. Father, we ask for your anointing on your Word, for your Holy Spirit to bless your Holy Word. Open our spiritual eyes and ears. Make my words the words that you want said. So, Father, make this broadcast into something very special. For your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Okay, let's look at today's passage, Luke 18, verses 15 to 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So, okay, there's a parallel passage here in Matthew. Not exactly the same event, but a parallel thought. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 6. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say unto you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Okay, and one more Bible passage, we'll pull them all together. And this is a well-known one, John 3:3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus is associating being born again, entering the kingdom of God, and a lot of other good things with the childlike state. So the person that humbles himself like a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So it's a state of humility, and it's a state of faith, it's a state of trust, in contrast to our adult independence. Of course, as adults, we have jobs to do. Of course, we have to get up, and I have to get a radio broadcast going. You have to plow a field, you have to go to work, you have to drive a taxi. Whatever you're doing it in a certain adult mode of being. And that's fine. That's what you've got to do. Jesus was a carpenter. I'm sure he didn't bang away with his carpenter's tools like a small child. I'm sure he was a complete professional as a carpenter and as a rabbi. But in entering the kingdom of God, we have to put our adult, capable self a little bit to one side, and we have to go for faith. We have to go for humility. We have to go to childlike dependence on Almighty God. And this is telling us that we cannot figure out our faith. Let me repeat that. You cannot figure out your faith. You can't calculate it like an adult. You can't plan your way to heaven. You have to have childlike daily dependence on God and let him guide you and let him take over. You're a small child. When they come to their parents, they know that breakfast is going to be ready, that lunch is going to be ready, that dinner is going to be ready, that they'll be ready for school and so on and so forth. And I know that there's great struggles of paying school fees and sometimes putting food on the table. But we're talking about an ideal situation here. The ideal child has complete trust in his or her ideal parents, who are going to provide, who are going to guide, who are going to tell him or her what to do. And all she has to do is trot along and obey. All he has to do is be respectful to his parents. And so we find that the childlike state is one where the child is not having to plan out 5 years ahead. They don't have to draw up the menu for the month. They are trusting in the provision of their parents. They are trusting in the wisdom of their parents. And they are trusting in the great love that their parents have for them. And so it is with us. When we go before God, we're not going as one calculating our way through life. We have no idea what tomorrow will offer. But we are coming to those who trust in the provision of our God. We trust in the wisdom of our God. And we trust in the great love that God has for us, that he will order all things well for us because he loves us, just as a parent tries to order all things well for their children and protect their children because they love their child. And that is the childlike state. That is the spiritual state we must walk in contrast to the scribes and the Pharisees, who walked in their own ways, in their own will, who are willful, strong people, who has constructed a ladder to heaven and a way along it. They say, obey this, obey this, obey this, and you'll go further and further up, and then you'll enter the kingdom of God by obeying all these rules. And there was no trust in God. They were trusting in their own strength, their own social status, and many other things. There was nothing childlike about the Pharisees. They were mean, they were nasty, and they crucified Jesus. So we don't want to be mean, nasty people. We want to be people full of trust, just as Abraham trusted God implicitly and trusted in the promises of God, and those promises came true. Let's get into the details of today's passage in Luke. It says, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. The word for infants is brephos. It means the unborn and the recently born, very tiny babies, those still suckled at the breast. And Jesus is blessing the very beginning of life. Maybe a pregnant woman was coming along and asking Jesus to bless her pregnancy because it might be painful, or she might want some special promise for her child. And we know that God is concerned with those in the womb. We know that God was concerned with the John the Baptist and Jesus. When John the Baptist was 6 months in the womb and Jesus comes along with Mary, and John the Baptist leaps in the womb at the sight of Mary pregnant with Jesus. So the child, John the Baptist, already was spiritual, already had spiritual senses before his physical eyes and ears were open. He had spiritual senses and could sense the presence of Jesus Christ. And then Elizabeth and Mary went forth into prophecy. God worked in wonderful ways around unborn children like John the Baptist and the unborn Jesus at that point. And there are many cases of blessed pregnancies and prophecies over children yet to be born. And we find that throughout the scriptures, God cares about the unborn. And God sees us, our unformed substance in the womb. And I think that's Psalm 139. God cares about the unborn and the newly born. And God detests abortion. God does not want us to terminate children. God is pro-life. And so God cares about you, and you can come to God. If you're a lady, you come to God about the child in your womb. Pray that God will bless that child. As the parents, pray that God will create a godly destiny for every child in the womb. And so we call out to God, we pray to God for the children yet to be born and just born. And you see that Jesus wants to bless them, which leads to the next thing. The disciples rebuke the people. Why does the disciples rebuke them? That because they thought this was totally unimportant. But Jesus wanted to reach out and touch them. Sometimes we in the church push people away that Jesus wants to touch. And in this case, it was physical touch. It wasn't just mystical touch. It wasn't just touching people in their minds. This was physically touching the children. It's a blessing through touch. It's the laying on of hands. And the laying on of hands is important. Somehow or other, we get an imparted energy from God we get spiritual gifts as Timothy got through the laying on of hands of the elders and prophecy, we find that there is an imparted energy of God, a blessing that comes through touch. And we should touch people, but we should touch them in a godly manner. Women touching women, men touching men, so on and so forth, not engaged in any unruly kind of touching or any inappropriate kind of touching. But God wants physical touch to be part of his church. We are to greet one another with a holy kiss or a holy handshake these days, whatever your cultural equivalent is. So God wants to touch people physically, and Jesus healed lepers with a touch. Touch is important. And the little children were brought to be touched, healed, and blessed by Jesus, and he wanted to reach out and touch them. But the disciples said, oh no, we're going to put a barrier between the people and the touch of God. And that's what religion does. That's what old-fashioned religion does. It puts some sort of barrier in the way and says, oh no, God is high, God is holy, God is not going to reach down and touch you because you are unimportant. And at this stage, the disciples had not yet been baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were still, in some ways, misunderstanding the gospel. And it was after the gospel that they fully opened up to loving one another, and we see the tremendous community built there in Jerusalem. But at this point, they were still being too important, and that's why we read that Matthew passage, which is, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus rebukes them and tells them to become like a little child. So here we are looking at the state of the disciples, and they made a mistake. So Jesus corrects this mistake. He's gentle, he's gracious, and he tells them about the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And so it says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Okay, children should be encouraged to go to God and not discouraged. No one is too unimportant, and no need is too unimportant for God. The need for a mother to have her child blessed that meets her heart need, she really wants her child blessed by Jesus, that is an important need to God. And he wants you to bring your children to church. He wants to bring your children to church for child dedication. Get them dedicated by the pastor. Get them prayed over. Get them blessed. Even when they're little, bring the little children unto God. Don't hide them away. Don't say, oh, well, I'll bring my children to church when they're older and they can decide for themselves. That's terrible. No, no, no. Introduce your children to Jesus, to salvation in the Bible early on, because otherwise the world will take over their hearts and their minds, and the spiritual powers and principalities of the age will get embedded in their character, and they will become hardened to gospel truth. They will become hardened, and they will take on the ways of this world, the values of this world, the sensuality of this world, and their mobile phones and their computers and all the rubbish of the culture will take them over. The world is not neutral. The worldly world, is dominated by powers and principalities of this age. We know that that worldly world is ruled over by the prince of darkness, the prince of the powers of the air. And so the influences on your children, those influences are automatically ungodly. That's what the culture is doing. It's training children into wickedness and into violence and into drugs and into all sorts of improper sexual things. And we find that children are getting out on their phones and their tablets and their computers to terrible things on the internet. And I could tell you stories, but it'd be probably too inappropriate for this broadcast. And their lives are being ruined by the stuff that they're getting hold of. So don't take your children to the world. Take your children to God. Bring the children unto Jesus and do not hinder them. Don't fall for this, oh, we'll take them to church when they're older so they can make up their mind later in life. Don't fall for that. Bring them early, bring them often, bring them into the presence of the Bible, worship music, fill your house with worship music, speak of the scriptures around the dinner table. Let your children see your life as an example and bring them to the Lord early on. And it says there, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Whoa, what a phrase to say. Here's these little children, they're in the womb or they're just born, and Jesus says, for to such belong the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just for theologians. It's not for Pharisees and high priests. It's for also those who have no theological understanding at all except for trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These tiny people with no understanding yet, no knowledge of the world, but who want Jesus, who instinctively trust Jesus as children do, for them belong the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a spiritual state. It's not an intellectual state. It's not a social state. We don't enter into the kingdom of God by becoming a deacon at church. We don't enter into the kingdom of God by learning reams and reams of Bible verses. We enter into the kingdom of God through faith. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a godly man. He was teacher of all Israel. He came to Jesus because of the miracles. And Jesus says, you must be born again. All your knowledge of the Torah is not going to get you into heaven. Being a teacher of all Israel will not get you into heaven. You need to trust God. You need to trust in the love, wisdom, and provision of God. You need to turn your heart over to God and let Jesus come into your life and forgive your sins, and then you will enter the kingdom of God. You see, it's this childlike state that brings us into the presence of God. The Matthew passage, Matthew 18, verse 2, and calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to turn, or in this case, be converted or repent and become like little children, or we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What on earth is that about? This is giving up our pompousness, our pride, our self-confidence, our self-righteousness, and becoming like a little child inside. And then we will enter the kingdom of heaven. While you have your own self-righteousness, while you have your own pride, when you say, well, I'm good enough, God will have to take me into heaven. I haven't hurt anybody. You ever heard that? People say that to you? I'm good enough. I haven't hurt anyone. God will have to take me into heaven. In other words, that person is trusting in their own righteousness to get into heaven. But Jesus says, sorry, you've got to turn and become as a little child. You have to be born again. You have to enter the kingdom of God through faith, not by works. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by works. You have to enter not in your own strength, not in your own wisdom, but by trusting God, saying, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive my sins. I come to you as the tiniest of little children, and I want to be blessed, and I want to learn, and I'm coming as a learner. I'm coming as one to be taught of God. I'm coming as someone to be instructed in the things of the kingdom. And that's where Nicodemus had a problem. He had no idea that he had to become a learner. He had no idea that he had to be born again. He was an instructor. He was sophisticated. He was part of the Sanhedrin. And it was his social status was very high, but he had to leave all that behind and become born again. And the record is that he did become born again. He did become converted. He became extremely generous. He was someone who gave away all his wealth, and his wealth was very great indeed, apparently. So we have to be like the children of God, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says, truly I say to you, Jesus is at his most emphatic here. He is not giving any room for doubt. He's not giving any room for negotiation. He's saying, truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Okay, he's saying it for sure. He's saying this is absolute. This is what I'm telling you. There's no wiggle room around this. He says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. You have to receive the kingdom of God. you do not achieve the kingdom of God. Your works are completely unimportant. What God wants is your faith. He wants your absolute trust. He wants you to trust God like a child trusting their parents. And to do that, the little child loves their parents. The little child expects the parents to provide for them. The little child does not run the family. The little child is content to be part of the family. The little child believes in the goodness of their parents, believes in the character of their parents, and believes in the wisdom of their parents, and will take instruction and guidance from their parents. But someone who refuses to do that does the opposite with God. They say, well, I read the Bible, but I don't like this bit, and I will not take this piece of guidance or this piece of instruction because I don't like it. Well, that is not coming to God as a little child. You will see these heretics around the place, these liberal theologians say, well, we know the Bible is just a book of man, etc., 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 and we don't like this bit, and we don't like that, and we're going to reinterpret the Bible because that's what we need to do. They're not coming to the Bible. They're not coming to God as little children. They're coming to God as intellectuals. They believe in their mind. They believe their mind knows better than God. They're not going to take any instructions from God. They're going to make up their own religion to suit their own purposes. And we cannot make up our own religion to suit our own purposes. We have to take God's way. We have to do life God's way. We have to follow Jesus' commandments. And we have to say, yes, Jesus, I believe you are right. I believe you are right. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I need forgiveness. Yes, I need to come to the cross. Yes, I lay down my burdens at the cross. Yes, I will walk in humility. Yes, I will walk in truth. Yes, I will study your Bible. Yes, I will be obedient. Yes, I will be pure. Yes, I will be holy. You have to keep on saying yes to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, you say, yes, Jesus, that's the wise and good thing. I will love my neighbor as myself. And when Jesus says, forgive your enemies, you will forgive your enemies, because that is the commandment of Jesus Christ. And you are like a little child before a heavenly Father, and you cry out, Abba, Father, knowing his love for you. And you need to lay down all your self-importance when you come to God. Now, we have to also negotiate the world. We have to negotiate all sorts of business deals. We have to deal with suppliers. We have to deal with our work. I'm not saying that you should be childish. I am saying you should be childlike when you come to God. When you come to other people, you will have to be wise, because that's just the nature of the world. You cannot be childish around people who are going to steal from you or rip you off or lie to you. You need to be wise and discerning, and God will give you the wisdom and discernment you need to get through life. But when it comes to dealing with our Holy Father in heaven, we know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy be thy name. We're coming to a heavenly Father, and our heavenly Father, we are to kneel before him, from whom all families in heaven and earth are named. He is the source of all things. And we are to recognize his holiness, and we are to trust him. We are to walk like Abraham with God. We are to walk like David with God. All the people of faith gave up being in control of their own life and let God take control of their life. And we have to keep giving that control back to God, because we always want to run the show, don't we? We want to snatch it back. We don't trust God quite enough. And so we say, oh, God disappointed me in this or in that. I'm taking back control of my life. If you feel disappointed by God, if you've stopped trusting God for this reason or that, today is a good time to change that. You need to go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry I stopped trusting you. Ask Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry that I pulled back from loving you. I was very disappointed about this or that or the other. I'm going to surrender my heart to you again. I'm going to come to you as a little child. I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to be vulnerable to God again. And I'm going to let you take over my life, because running life my own way just hasn't worked. And you'll find that whenever you're feeling down in the dumps in the Christian life, Just ask yourself, have I started taking control of things again? Have I started trying to run the show my own way again? Because that's what we try to do. And whenever you're feeling discouraged and worn out and frazzled and anxious, just ask yourself, am I coming to God as a little child, or am I trying to come as a big Australian man who's important and this and that and the other? Well, of course, that would be silly of me. And that's silly of you when you try and do it as well. You've got to come to God as a little child, because unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not enter into it. Remember, the kingdom is received, not achieved. The spiritual things, the heavenly things, the things of God are received, not achieved. You get nowhere spiritually by your works. You get everywhere by your faith. If you want love from God, receive the love from God. If you want peace from God, receive the peace of God. Be open to it. If you want blessing to God, come as a little child. Bless me. Bless me. I'm your little child, Jesus. Bless me. Receive the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't achieve blessing. You receive blessing by your attitude of meekness and humility towards God, because God's already blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. Receive the blessings he has prepared for you. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Receive the Holy Spirit. You don't achieve the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit. You don't earn the Holy Spirit by praying and fasting, you receive it by believing that God wants to give you more and more of the Holy Ghost. So come to him. He says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. So God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the kingdom of God. God has prepared the kingdom of God for the little flock to the little children. Be in a receptive attitude. Receive as a little child receives everything. The little child receives their dinner. The little child receives a room to live in. The little child receives an education. The little child is receptive. The little child receives the love of their parents. They are always receiving from God and receiving from their parents. You do not come as an achiever. You come as a receiver. Receive and believe. And remember, believe that you've received. When you pray for something, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You're there to be a receptive person to the things of God, to be a receptacle of the Holy Spirit, which will be poured out into you. Come as a little child with open hands and receive the things of heaven. Stop trying to achieve them. Believe and receive them, because God has good things prepared for you. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.